Knollcrest Farm has been raising cage-free chickens since well before the current vogue for organic and humane practices. California has just passed a proposition that requires better treatment of farm animals, which may well turn out to have a big impact on farming all over the country. The writer Michael Pollan, who happens to be the son of Corky Pollan, whom we heard from earlier, has been looking at and encouraging these kinds of changes over the last few years. His most recent book on the American way of eating is called In Defense of Food, An Eater's Manifesto. So, Michael, do organic practices in terms of raising and growing food, does the food taste better in your view?
Well, you know, in the view of a lot of chefs, it does. They feel that organic food has more complex flavor. Essentially, when you say food is organic, you mean it's been grown without chemical pesticides. And I don't know that that has a big effect on flavor. But it's been grown without chemical fertilizers. And that probably is the key issue. Because if you're feeding just, you know, nitrogen and phosphorus and potassium to plants, you're kind of simplifying the soil. And it stands to reason that a simplified soil would lead to a simplified chemistry in the plant.
Explain what you have called the American paradox about nutrition.
Well, you know, we've all heard of the French paradox. You know, this population of wine-swilling, triple-creme cheese-eating, foie gras-eating people who nevertheless have better health outcomes than we do. The American paradox is of people who worry about nutrition and talk about it all the time and nevertheless have some of the worst dietary health on the planet. I mean, the highest rates of obesity and diabetes and type 2 diabetes. And how can it be that we could spend so much time talking about, reading about, you know, listening to doctors about good nutrition and not have figured it out? You know, I often talk to audiences with whom I disagree, especially the kind of large-scale processed organic food makers. I mean, you know, if it's organic junk food, as far as I'm concerned, it's still junk food. I mean, there is, you know, there's an attempt now to create a whole kind of shadow food supply, to have organic candy bars and organic Coca-Cola and organic potato chips. Take that whole supermarket and double it and make it organic. And, you know, you can make a good case that that's worth doing because a lot of land will be better taken care of. A lot of farm workers won't be exposed to pesticides. You know, many good things will flow from that. But that isn't really going to make the food any healthier or better necessarily. Is organic Coca-Cola a good or bad thing? I mean, that's an interesting thought experiment. And I could argue it both ways, but I'm trying to get people to think about it before Coca-Cola takes that momentous step.
I didn't even know that was in the pipeline.
Oh, you know they're having meetings about it. They're definitely talking about it. They just don't know, should we call it Coca-Cola or give it a whole new name? And what is that going to say about Coca-Cola if there's organic Coca-Cola? Is that an implicit criticism of Coca-Cola?
Right.
I mean, these conversations are going on in boardrooms as we speak.
Now, I think we met back when you were just eating the same crappy food that the rest of us were eating, Michael. Was there a moment where you had your kind of Eureka come to Jesus, road to Damascus moment?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that there was. I mean, my eating changed. You know, it's funny. I don't think of myself as a foodie. I mean, I'm not someone who is motivated by when I lived in Manhattan to, you know, eat at all the best restaurants and spend my money that way. But as I began my kind of exploration of the food chain in America, and I did this mostly for journalistic reasons, mm-hmm. I was, you know, on assignment, it kind of sensitized me to some of these issues. And I began eating in the kitchens of people who really cared about this stuff and realized that, you know, there really is no trade-off, that doing the right thing by the animals, by the soil, produced actually the best quality food. And that's one of the happier alignments that I can think of. The only trade-off, of course, is cost. It is more expensive to do things this way. But I think you will find a lot of chefs who feel that way. And Alice Waters here in Berkeley, obviously, is an important one. You know, her road to Damascus was not about her love of organic food. It was about her effort to recover a certain taste, a flavor she had had when she was a young woman living in France. The more you learn about ways to grow food that are beneficial to the animals and to the environment, the more you realize that, hey, this is really good stuff, and you don't have to exchange one value for another.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Kurt. Thank you.
Michael Pollan's most recent book is In Defense of Food, An Eater's Manifesto.